Scott Quell is senior principal at Accenture Federal Services and former chief financial officer at the Department of Commerce, writing in the Federal Times under the title, How Public-Private Partnerships Advance the Shared Services Marketplace. Scott, I'm not sure that when people at agencies started thinking about shared services in the last couple of years, we were aware of all of the various possibilities for ways to leverage this concept. What drove you to want to talk about public-private partnerships in the first place? Thanks for coming on, Scott.
Francis, thank you. I'm delighted to join you in this important discussion. Well, first, shared services are important. You can see why it's a top component of this administration's management agenda. Federal agencies are spending over $120 billion a year on this financial system, how they manage the finances, human resources, and supply chains, as well as information technology and other mission support. And beyond the money, it's the functions that these services provide go way beyond what the term mission support might suggest. If an agency can't deliver the right equipment where and when it's needed, if security and sound controls are compromised, if communications networks or payroll falter, agencies can't deliver their mission effectively.
You write in this piece, such partnerships, the public-private partnerships, are nothing new to state and local governments. We've seen a lot over the last 5 years, especially about how tighter budgets, and especially in states where balanced budget amendments are in place, are pushing states to really do everything they can to squeeze cost out of their budgets. Is that what's behind this effort too?
I think this certainly cost is a key component, but I also believe it's performance. We have this is not simply about making consolidation a goal in and of itself. This is the establishment of a marketplace within the federal government where there's clear understanding of pricing, of performance, of who's providing what service and at what level of quality, and then applying effective practices when it comes to change management, when it comes to making the market more fluid so that agencies that are the buyers of shared services don't feel that they're feeling kind of stuck or compelled to stick with one provider, irrespective of performance. So I'd say it goes beyond the money to performance.
One thing you mentioned there I want to tease out a little bit more in a few minutes, and that's who's providing what services. I want to talk about the specific example that you outlined in your piece. You write, the state of Ohio launched shared services center operations in 2009, providing accounts payable, vendor maintenance, travel and expense reimbursement services to 17,000 employees in three agencies. And I imagine there was a bit of discomfort when this started to happen with, you mentioned the public employee unions, and one of the concerns I imagine needed to be addressed early on was, explain to us why this isn't just straight up outsourcing.
I think the key here is that it's the government that establishes the performance criteria. It's the government that establishes what success looks like and what our quality will be. It's the government that laid down the rule of the roads with respect to transparency and who owns the data, who owns the intellectual property, what happens if we don't see good performance, what happens if we do see good performance. So this is not simply a question of privatization, not at all. This is a question of the government providing the oversight and the rules of the road and expectation for performance, and then commercial providers having to live up to their end of the bargain and meeting those requirements.
A number here that's particularly compelling that you point out is $145 million. That's the net present value savings over 20 years identified in a business case for this shared services center. And I imagine that's one of the most important steps to establishing something like this at a federal agency or a group of agencies is, what's the business case for moving forward with this?
I think that's right, Francis, and I think that really gets back to this question of establishing the rules of the road within this broader federal marketplace. This isn't simply a question of consolidating. This is a question of understanding, as you and I would as customers, who's providing what, at what level of quality, at what price point, what happens if the performance is great, what happens if the performance is not great, so that I can maintain the service levels that I'm expecting.
Scott Quell of Accenture is writing in the Federal Times under the title, How Public-Private Partnerships Advance the Shared Services Marketplace. And Scott, you have more details on Ohio Shared Services, and I commend that to folks. We have a link to your piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You write about a pilot that an agency could undertake to go in this direction. And I just want to walk through these steps and have you talk about each of them. The first one you write about is an agency would competitively select a commercial service provider who would, first step, fully operate the service in a manner that meets gold standard federal agency requirements at either a significantly lower cost, higher quality, or both. And it strikes me that, again, back to the business case, one of the most important components of determining what that gold standard requirement is writing that business case. Am I on the right track?
I would think so. Ultimately, any agency, any buyer, anywhere, we want to have a clear understanding of what is it exactly that it wants, what does it value most, and how will performance be defined and measured and validated, and at what price point would that performance be met. So that's really the it does, as you were saying, Francis, it begins with a clear understanding from the government's perspective, what does it want?
Second step is you write a host agency would select a commercial services provider which would, under the right terms and conditions, put its own capital at risk to fund a large share of implementation and customer migration costs, with its ability to make a reasonable profit contingent upon meeting measurable savings, quality, and other performance requirements over time. So they'd have skin in the game is what you're getting at, Scott.
I think that's right. I think if we were to look at federal agencies now, most of the shared service providers, most do rely just on one degree or another on contracted workforce or contractor provided services. So here the question is, since you're seeing a large contractor presence already, could incentives be aligned so that you have real skin in the game in terms of a share of, you're also looking at serious costs in terms of implementing shared services and migrating to them. And so so to be able to mobilize the commercial capital, putting a share of it at risk, tied to performance-driven results that are clearly established and validated, we think that that's a sound approach.
Third piece of this, again, a host agency selecting a commercial service provider to agree to terms and conditions that provide reasonable safeguards to the government and to the commercial provider. Essentially, it sounds to me like you want to make sure the ground rules are established at the very beginning.
Absolutely, Francis. For example, the government would want to be able to say, look, it's our data. It's our data. It's nobody, not your data. You're a commercial operator. You're just operating. It's our data. That would be an example of a reasonable safeguard, so that if things didn't work out after good faith efforts to try to resolve it, the government could be able to lift and shift its data out and send it to another provider. From the commercial operator's perspective, if something unforeseen well beyond its control were to occur, like a sequester, funding simply stops, what are reasonable protections on behalf for any commercial provider that would be putting millions and millions of its own dollars at risk for an agency's success? Those are the types of things that would have to be worked out in advance for all to see as part of a competitive process.
What scale would a pilot like this have to operate on, Scott, for you as a financial decision maker to be confident that it was big enough to get a sense of whether it's going to work right, but not big enough that you would assume a very high risk profile?
The answer is it depends. I think the term pilot is very meaningful here. I think initially, this is a question. This is part of an evolution of a federal shared services marketplace. Let's make sure the mechanisms work, and let's test it at a scale where if all sides are, as you're saying, putting skin in the game, all sides taking some risk. Let's make sure that the size and the risk is acceptable. But this approach could be used at a very large scale, payroll systems or HR systems or certain financial functions or certain IT functions. So ultimately you could imagine almost like rings on a tree. You start off maybe with one agency, even one federal host agency, prove the concept there, and then you build it out and onboard other agencies. So that again, it's a managed evolutionary process as part of the advancement of this broader shared services marketplace.
The Obama administration has proven to be very skilled at planting pilots various places across agencies, trying them in different varieties or different permutations, and comparing the results. Is this the kind of thing for which enough varieties or permutations exist or could be created to get that kind of competitive sense of this one worked really well, this one wasn't quite as good, but we could tweak it, this one we probably don't need to mess around with anymore?
I think you've hit it exactly. You know, so already, information has been put out by Treasury. I think with OMB support, in terms of sense of the contours of cost for shared service provision, and from that, customers and potential customer agencies can start making some judgments about not just cost but performance levels and how the mix and match suits their requirements. Likewise, we think that having additional information out for all to see as part of these pilots would simply have a better informed and therefore marketplace with more choice and frankly a more dynamic marketplace. It absolutely aligned with the direction that things seem to be heading already.
How much would I have to find in my budget somewhere, Scott, to be able to launch something like this? Because it doesn't sound like I'd need to any kind of authorities other than somebody at the top of the agency, somebody in the C-suite or the secretary's office to say, yeah, go ahead and give this a shot. Let's try it.
Well, I think one of the reasons we live in a great country is that we have many points of perspective that need to be engaged before federal cabinet-level agencies undertake anything of that scale. So I think certain consultation with various offices within the executive branch and the legislative branch would be wise.